Jai Radha Madhava Kunja Vihari. Jai Radha Madhava Kunja Vihari. Bijana Vallabha Girivara Ahira Gopi Jai Gopi Jana Vallabha Girivara Ahira Jisod Nandana Bhaja Jana Hanjana Jisod Nandana Bhaja Jana Hanjana Yamuna Tira Havana Dahi Jama Yamuna Dhira Havana Dahi Jama Nidhar Adha Madhava Dinsha Bihari Nidhaya Adha Madhava Dinsha Bihari Radha Madhava Jai Gopi Jana Vallabha Girivara Dhari Jai Gopi Jana Vallabha Girivara Dhari Giri Jisod Nandana Bhaja Jana Hanjana Jisod Nandana Bhaja Jana Hanjana Jimuna Thira Vana Jahariyam Hey, Yamuna Thira Vana Jahariyam Jai Radha Madhava Kunja Vihari Radha Madhava Jai Radha Madhava Kunja Vihari Kunja Vihari Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Ram, Hare Ram. Hamar, hamar, hari hari, Krishna, 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 hari, Rio, Hare Ram, Hare Ram, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna. Krishna, Krishna, Hari Hari, Hari Ram, Hari Ram, Ram Ram, Hari Hari, Hari Krishna, Devo Hari Ram, Hari Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hari Hari, Hari Ram, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hari Hari, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna. Hare Ram, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare. Krishna, Krishna, Nittai Gaur, hey, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, 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 Hare, Hare, Hare Ram, Hare Ram, 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 Hare, Hare, Krishna, Evo, and it I go, Hare, 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 Hari Hari, Nittai Gaur, Jaya 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 Prabhupada, 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 Jaya Prabhupada. Srila Prabhupada ki jai. Jai Om Vishnupad Paramahansa Parivajakacharya Astotara Sattva Sri Sriman. His Divine Grace A.C. Bhakti Vedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada ki jai. His Khan Founder Acharya, His Divine Grace Srila Prabhupada ki jai. Raj Granta Srimad Bhagavatam ki jai. Sri Sri Gaurnatai ki jai. Jagannath Baladev Subhadra Maharani ki jai. Sri Sri Kishore Kishore ki jai. Gaur Premanandi. Glories to the assembled devotees. All glories to the assembled devotees. All glories to Guru and Gauranga. Hare Krishna. So, Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. So reading from Canto 5, Chapter 1. Chapter is entitled The Activities of Maharaj Priyavrata, and this is text 22. So again, it's just the prose. There's really no need to write this on the board. It's just a waste of time because we can't chant this anyway. The only way you chant it is to chant it all the way straight through without stopping. That's how you chant it. It's not responsive. So I'll skip the actual and we'll just do the word for word. That's what they usually do in most temples. So Manu, Swayambhuva Manu, Api, also, Parena, by Lord Brahma, Evam, thus, Pratisandita, executed, Manarata, his mental aspiration, Sura Rishi Vara, of the great sage Narada, Anumatena, by their permission, Atmajam, his son, Akila, of the entire universe, Dara Mandala, of planets, Stiti, maintenance, Guptaye, for the protection, Astapya, establishing, Swayam, personally, Ativisama, very dangerous, Visaya, material affairs, Visa, of poison, Jala Asaya, ocean, Asayaha, from desires, Upararama, got relief. Translation, and purport by His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada. Swayambhuva Manu, with the assistance of Lord Brahma, thus fulfilled his desires. With the permission of the great sage Narada, he delivered to his son the governmental responsibility for maintaining and protecting all planets of the universe. He thus achieved relief from the most dangerous, poisonous ocean of material desires. Did you get that? Who didn't get that one? Should I read it again? 1, 2, 3, 4. It's a little, the wording is a little difficult. Swayambhuva Manu, with the assistance of Lord Brahma, thus fulfilled his desires. So, Swayambhuva's desires were fulfilled with the assistance of Brahma. With the permission of the great sage Narada, he delivered to his son the governmental responsibility for maintaining and protecting all the planets of the universe. So Swayambhuva Manu is delivering the responsibility to rule the universe to Priyavrat. And Priyavrat, he thus achieved relief from the most dangerous, poisonous ocean of material desires. It's hard to say who's getting the relief, Swayambhuva Manu or Priyavrat here. So it seems to indicate he refers to Swayambhuva Manu. Okay, we'll read the purport. It's a very long purport. Swayambhuva Manu was practically hopeless because such a great personality as Narada was instructing his Priyavrata not to accept household life. Wow, if Narada Muni comes, what are you going to do? Can't really challenge Narada. Now he was very pleased that Lord Brahma had interfered. See, even great souls differ. So don't become distressed if you have a discussion with somebody and you don't agree. It happens all the time. This is a big big difference of opinion here too. So now he was pleased that Lord Brahma had interfered by inducing his son to accept the responsibility for ruling the government of the universe. From the Bhagavad Gita, we get information that Vaivishvata Manu was the son of the sun god and that his son, Maharaj Ishvaku, ruled the planet Earth. Swayambhuva Manu, however, appears to have been in charge of the entire universe, and thus he entrusted to his son, Maharaj Priyavrata, the responsibility for maintaining and protecting all the planetary systems. Excuse me a minute. Old age. What can you do? You don't know anything about it yet. Anyway, you'll get it someday. It's miserable. Okay, so. Dhara Mandala means planet. This earth, for instance, is called Dhara Mandala. Akila, however, means all of the universal. It is therefore difficult to understand where Maharaj Priyavrata was situated. But from this literature, his position certainly appears greater than that of Vaivishwadumanu, for he thus entrusted all the planetary systems of the entire universe. So, okay. Another significant statement is that Swayambhuva Manu took great satisfaction from abnegating the responsibility for ruling all the planetary systems of the universe. At present, politicians are very eager to take charge of the government, and they engage their men in canvassing from door to door to get votes to win the post of president or a similar exalted office. On the contrary, however, herein we find that King Priyavrata had to be persuaded by Lord Brahma to accept the post of emperor of the entire universe. Nowadays, everybody wants to be a ruler, but nobody has qualifications. Here we have qualifications, but no desire. Interesting. Shows the difference of spiritual and material consciousness. Similarly, his father, Swayambhuva Manu, felt relief to entrust the universal government to his son, Priyavrata. Thus, it is evident that the kings and executive heads of government in the Vedic age never accepted their position for sense enjoyment. Such exalted kings, who were known as Rajarsis, ruled only to maintain and protect the kingdom for the welfare of the citizens. The history of Priyavrata and Swayambhuva Manu describes how exemplarily responsible monarchs performed the duties of government with disinterest, keeping themselves always aloof from the contamination of material attachments. This is an important point. They don't take responsibility unless they are what we say qualified. And at the same time, they're not really interested in getting anything from that activity. They do it simply as a service to those that they lead. Material affairs have been compared to an ocean of poison. They have been described in a similar way by Srila Narottam Das Thakur in his one song, Samsara Vishanal. Samsara vishanale dvibi nishahiya jwale judaite nakainu hupa. Who knows that? Samsara vishanale dvibi nishahiya jwale. You don't know? Judai tain hakainu pa. That's Prabhupada's favorite bhajan. Did you know that? That's his favorite one. When Johnny, I think it was Janaki, asked Prabhupada, what's your favorite bhajan, Srila Prabhupada? He said, this one. My heart is always burning in the fire of material existence, and I have made no provisions to go for getting out of it. Golokera premandana harinam sankirtana ratinan janmila kena. The only remedy is harinam sankirtan, the chanting of the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra, which is imported from the spiritual world, Goloka Vrindavan. How unfortunate I am that I have no attraction for this. So Narottam Das Thakur is putting himself in the position of a conditioned soul. I've simply wasted my time and life and material sense gratification drinking the poison of the most deadly poison, Kalakuta. that destroys all existence, blah, material life. Raghunath Das Goswami compares material life to a ditch full of stool and urine. Haribo. A big ditch, too. If you fall into it, you smell bad. We always think, oh, this material world's not so bad. But when you taste the happiness of Krishna consciousness, that's what we want. And then we see this material world is like, it's like, bad news. Okay. Manu wanted to seek shelter at the lotus feet of the Lord, and therefore when his son Priyavata took charge of the worldly affairs, Manu was relieved. This is the system of Vedic civilization. At the end of life, one must free himself from worldly affairs and completely engage in the service of the Lord. The word surasi, vara, anumatena is also very significant. Manu entrusted the government to his son with the permission of the great sage Narada. This is particularly mentioned because although Narada wanted Priyavrata to become free from all material affairs, when Priyavrata took charge of the universe by the request of Lord Brahma and Manu, Narada was also pleased. Wow, he was speaking against taking the affairs, but when then Priyavrata took it, Narada was pleased. What was Narada doing? We'll find out later. Okay. Om Agyan Timirandasya Gina Jana Salakaya Chaksu Unmilitam Yena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha Shri Chaitanya Manobistam Stapditam Yena Bhutale Swayam Rupa Kadamayam Dadati Swam Padatikam Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Sya Dvaita Gadadhar Sivasari Gaur Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. So, responsibility. What is our main responsibility? To become Krishna conscious. That's our number one responsibility. We may take on responsibilities in this world, and we do. Everyone does. We take on responsibilities to our families, to our friends, to society in general. And these responsibilities, or we say debts, sometimes we use the word debts, are given to us because of our situation in this world. We accept it. Sometimes we accept it as an opportunity to enjoy the position of responsibility. But that's material. And that just leads to unhappiness. Or sometimes we do it because it's our duty to do it. And that's better. Or we can do it as a service to the Lord. That's the highest. So even material responsibilities can be dovetailed into the service of the Lord. As Krishna very clearly indicates in Bhagavad Gita many times, one verse, yat karosi yat anasi yat jahosi dadasi yat tapasi tukuntaya tad kurusha mararpana. He says, all that you do, he's not saying all that you do in devotional service. He says, all that you do, all that you eat, all that you offer, anything you do, and all austerities you perform, even when you do austerities, it's not like you want to become powerful or you want to be known as an austere person. That's material also. Should be done as an offering to me. So the process of bhakti is to offer everything in the service of the Lord. To focus our consciousness on how to please the Lord in whatever activities we have. So therefore we follow the guidance of the great souls, spiritual masters and the sadhus before the spiritual masters, And they give us the indication how to execute the duty in such a way that it is pleasing. So there's principles, there's rules and regulations and responsibilities that come with devotional service. And these responsibilities situate us nicely in the process of devotional service, like that. And no one should take on responsibility unless they can actually fulfill the responsibility. Of course, in the process of training, we may accept some responsibility, but we should understand that that responsibility is a gift so we can make spiritual progress like that. So even in the material sense, our material responsibilities should be done in a detached way, a disinterested way. So I'm mixing a little bit of the material and the spiritual here, but we'll sort it out in a few minutes. The material responsibilities should be done, the Prabhupada uses the word disinterest or detachment. Disinterest means it's not like you don't do it. It's pretty hard to do something and at the same time not be interested in what you're doing. Well, we might use an example. What are some of the things you have to do and you don't really like to do? I mean, it's not so fun to pass stool, but you got to do it, right? It's part of life. So you do it with a disinterest. You don't think after you pass stool, you think, oh, there's part of my body, it's gone. No. You don't like this class, okay. Point is that, I'm sorry, it's been a rough night. The point is that these responsibilities in the material world are just like that, passing stool or passing urine, or sometimes, you know, even, you know, maintaining a family sometimes. All right, I do it because I'm a mother, I'm a father, but I really, really want to spend my time serving Krishna and chanting the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra. You find more satisfaction. But you do it. It's called disinterested or detached activity. There's no desire for gain, but the activity must be done in order because there's some responsibility due to your position in the material world. And you do it like that. Even going to school, what's the use of material education if it cannot situate one in devotional service? Material education is just like, as Bhaktivinoda Thakur says, it turns a person into a gigantic donkey. Not a small donkey, big donkey. And he makes a lot of noise. And the more education he has, the more noise he makes. Who cares about the noise of a donkey? Only another donkey, right? That's all. So this is material life, you know. So the more one situates themselves in material activities in order to get something from it, they become what we say foolish. So material activities are needed in order to fulfill the needs of the body, okay. But that's all. Therefore, it should be done with disinterest or detachment. If we do it in an attached way, it's just like, what's the example? Raghunath Das Goswami, he wanted to go see Lord Chaitanya. And he was eager to go to Lord Chaitanya. But his parents, they were wealthy. His parents were, they were billionaires. That's how wealthy his parents were. His father and his uncle were employed by the king at the time. And they were tax collectors, and they could keep a large portion of the taxes they collected as their salary. They were landowners, and they had responsibility. Now, Raghunath Das Goswami, although born in this family, was not at all interested in any of this stuff. He just wanted to be a Hare Krishna. He wanted to be a devotee. And so he would always try to run away and his parents were wealthy, so they employed 11 guards, 11 guards, to keep him from running away. They gave him a beautiful and most qualified wife. She was like an angel, as described in the Shastras, but he wasn't interested in any of it. He had all the money he could possibly ever need, and he was the only son. There was no other child in the family. No daughter, no. He was the only son. He wanted to go to Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And one time he escaped, and Lord Chaitanya told him, "You go back. Go back and take care of your parents. But do it in a detached way. Do it as a service, that's all. Soon Krishna will free you from all these responsibilities." So, on the instructions of Lord Chaitanya, he returned. But he was totally uninterested in it. So he performed his duties to his parents in a very detached way, always keeping his mind on Krishna. And Lord Chaitanya gives the formula how to live in this world. Sometimes we wonder how to take care of our material responsibilities and at the same time practice devotional service. Lord Chaitanya gives the formula. He compares it or gives a nice analogy. He says, just like a woman will have a husband, but she also has a lover. And she's more interested in her lover than her husband. But she does her duty to her husband so nicely that her husband doesn't suspect that she has a lover, but at the same time, she's always thinking about when she will go to her lover, and her mind's always on her lover. Okay? So that's the idea of how to live in this world. You do your duties, okay, we got to do this. You got to do whatever you have to do to maintain your body. And some of us, of course, we have responsibilities with occupation and family. We do it in a detached way. That's for those of us who family members are not so Krishna conscious. But we do it. And at the same time, our heart and mind is always thinking, when can I go to be with the devotees? When can I chant Hare Krishna? When can I, you know, engage in devotional service like that? So keeping the consciousness on Krishna like that. And then one, that consciousness will eventually take one to the lotus feet of the Lord in physical activity. In other words, one will get detached from all that other stuff eventually. And then finally, Raghunath Das Goswami, he kept running away. He kept running away, and his parents would capture him again with the guards, and they would bring him back. And his mother said, "Tie him up." You ever have parents like that? They don't like joining the Hare Krishna movies. Tie him up. Get a deprogrammer. I know one. One of my godbrothers, in New Vrindavan, they would send deprogrammers regularly to catch devotees. And his mother and parents spent $17,000 to hire a deprogrammer. This was like 30 years ago. $17,000. He got away, came back again. And then they captured him again. This time they spent $20,000, $37,000. That was like 30 years ago. And the second time, they couldn't break his determination in Krishna consciousness. He was preaching to the deprogrammers. And these guys are expert at breaking your vows. And so finally, they just let him go. Couldn't keep him. So he came back again. His mother and father came to the New Vrindavan community just to find out what it was like. I remember watching, and they were looking around like, this is what our son is into, huh? Strange. So, yeah, when a devotee gets the taste of Krishna consciousness, nothing material can keep us away from devotional service. So we can develop that desire by detaching ourselves from material activities and always keeping our consciousness connected to Krishna. That's the process. Finally, Raghunath Das Goswami, he tricked the guards, and finally he got away. And this time, you know, they couldn't bring him back. And so Lord Chaitanya told him, yes, Krishna has freed you from the ditch of material life, which is like filled with stool and urine. That's what Lord Chaitanya said. So this material world is simply this is the main point. It's called a poisonous ocean. It's not just poison, but it's an ocean of poison. What's the highest form of happiness in the material life? Sex life, right? Of course, some people don't disagree with that. They think that drugs are better than happiness. Sex life. I met some devotee. It's not devotee, but other. Sex life, drugs, yeah. Yeah, they think like drugs are even better than sex. And because this is the whole drug culture now. Everybody's taking some kind of drugs or something. But generally it's understood as sex life. But sex life, look at all the problems in this world. Where's it come from? Sex life. Broken homes, broken families, murders because of cheating or because of not being fulfilling my desires. So many problems. Domestic problems are the biggest problems in the society. So many problems. Single parents, vana sankara, kids growing up with no training, no guidance. So it's just, sex life causes so many difficulties. The higher the form of material pleasure, the higher the form of material suffering. Write that down. Nobody's writing that down. But I want to make that point. The more you try to enjoy this material world, the more you can expect that the suffering will be just as high as the enjoyment or even greater. And the pleasure wears off fast, but the suffering stays for a long time. You want to know what material life is like? Look at your little toe on your foot. Now, how much pleasure does that toe give you? Oh, little toe, you're so nice, you give me so much pleasure. But if somebody steps on it, wow, what kind of pain you're going to get. So, the point is, this material world is just designed to make you suffer. Even the happiness is another form of suffering because it takes you away from your real happiness. You get cheated. Material life is like cheating you out of your real happiness. Try to understand that. It's an important principle. And don't wait till you're old to learn it. Learn it now, because when you're old, it might be too late. So this is the point. This material world is like an ocean. It's called Kalakuta. Kala means like an ocean. Kuta, like poison. Poisonous ocean of material sense gratification. And the highest form of that sense gratification is sex life. Everybody's chasing after this thing because that's all they know. It's like an addiction. When you get addicted to something, you can't live without it, right? They have nowadays, they have, what do they call it? Alcoholics Anonymous used to be the one that I only knew in the 70s. Then it became Drugs Anonymous. Then it became Overeaters Anonymous. Then it came Sex Anonymous. And now it's Shopaholics. You know what shopaholics are? People who are addicted to the shopping. They get addicted to shopping. They spend all their money just going shopping. Shop till you drop, it says, right? That's the bumper sticker. So everybody gets addicted to some kind of form of sense gratification and they can't give it up. And even if they want to give it up, they don't know anything else, so they just stick to it. It's like, it gives me pain, but still, it's like sweet rain falling down from God's mercy. So this is the material world. Priyavrat doesn't want anything to do with it. Narada Muni's preaching to him, and he's happy. He's satisfied. But responsibility comes in. He takes care of his response. He does it as a duty. And you'll see later on what happens to him. This is a very important pastime because although he's completely disinterested in this whole thing, he still gets attached. He gets a nice wife and he becomes a little bit like, you know, they call it puppet in the hands of his nice wife. And he gets a little bit attached and then finally he gets out of it at the end. But this is what it means to play with the material energy. You can't play with it. It's so dangerous. It's so dangerous that when you try to play with it or try to some, you get caught. It's like a tar baby. So therefore, even when we do have material affairs, we should be very conscious to do these affairs in the nicest possible way, but at the same time knowing it's simply a duty. That's all. I gotta do it because I have this responsibility. But our real responsibility is to become Krishna conscious. And if we neglect that for our material activities, or let the material activities overshadow, then we actually miss the boat. We'll stay on the shore forever, never get across the ocean of material existence. So this is a very instructive pastime here. And you see, great souls disagree. Swayambhuvamano, he's got a job. He's got to manage the universe. And he's looking for something to do it. And it just happens to be his son that's qualified to do it. And so Priyavrat's not even listening to his father. He's not even listening to his father. And then, because he's so detached, he doesn't want anything to do with this material world. When you taste the happiness of Krishna consciousness, you'll understand this philosophy. You'll understand this when you start tasting the sweetness of Krishna. Because even a drop of the happiness of Krishna consciousness is so strong it can drown the whole world in love of God. And that's a statement by Krishna Das Kaviraj Goswami. He says, I'm standing on the shore of the ocean of Lord Chaitanya's pastimes. I'm trying to taste one drop of that sweet pastime, and that drop is enough to drown the whole world in love of God. Lord Chaitanya has broken open the ocean of spiritual happiness, and he's distributing it freely. He's demonstrating it by his own life and in his pastimes when he came to this material world. And at the same time, he's giving it out. He's not keeping it for himself. You read Lord Chaitanya's leelas towards the end of his life on this earth. You know, he had a large following, but he just went into ecstasy. He was in internal consciousness mostly, just thinking about Radha Krishna's pastimes in Vrindavan. He would run outside of the Gambira, and he would escape, and then go on to the middle of the night and absorbed in in Krishna's pastimes, and the devotees couldn't find him. One time he dove into the ocean, and he was just floating in the waves of the ocean. His consciousness was immersed in Radha and Krishna's leelas, and he was found by a fisherman who picked him up in a net. He was thinking, what kind of fish is this? And when he pulled him up to the boat, he touched him. And then the fisherman went mad. He started to chant Hare Krishna. And he thought, oh no, I'm possessed by a ghost. This dead body that I found in the ocean has got a ghost in it. He was mad. So he ran onto the shore and he was just running around. And the devotees were at the same time were looking for Lord Chaitanya. Couldn't find him anywhere. And so this boatman was running and running, or a fisherman, and finally Sarup Damodar Goswami saw this man and he asked him, "What's wrong with you?" He said, I was fishing and I pulled up this body and I touched it, and now I've become the ghost from that body entered me and I'm acting crazy. I can't stop chanting. It's hard. So Sarup Damodar Goswami could understand that this was Lord Chaitanya that he had found. He said, "Where is this body?" He said, "I can't tell you because it's dangerous. If you go there, you'll get, you know, you'll get contaminated like me." Sarup Damodar Goswami said, "You know, I'm a famous exorcist, so I'll get the ghost out of your body." So he slapped him. And then he said, "Now tell me where Lord Chaitanya was." And he did. And then he understood. The fisherman got the mercy. And then Lord Chaitanya was there, and he was, his body was like a turtle. All his limbs had gone inside of his body out of ecstasy. And then the devotees, when they saw him, they just started to cry because they saw, "What is this? He looks like he's not even human anymore." So Sarup Damodar said to everyone, "Just chant, 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 chant." And they started to chant in his ears, and they were chanting, chanting, chanting. Finally, the Lord came out of his internal consciousness and says, "Where am I? Why have you brought me here? I was with Radha and Krishna Govardhan Hill. Now you brought me here." He was angry. He was upset. He was upset because the devotees had brought him back to the real world. And then, of course, they were concerned about his physical welfare because he was in so much ecstasy, he didn't care about his body. I knew one devotee in the Hare Krishna movement. She was like that. She would get so absorbed in service, she would completely neglect her body. She was preaching in Africa one time, and she just fell into a ditch one time. She was walking, boom, fell right into a ditch. She was absorbed in Krishna. They had to lift her out of the ditch. But she was always in internal, always thinking about Krishna constantly. And the devotees would have to take care of her because she couldn't maintain her body because she was always thinking about Krishna. That was her consciousness. She just neglected her eating, her sleeping, whatever else she... And she was just absorbed in service. So we get a little taste of Krishna consciousness. Of course, we can't imitate that. That's something you just can't artificially do. But this is just to indicate what is the happiness or the immersion that one can become, one can attain simply by devotional service. One loses all attraction to this material world. Because this material world is simply a prison house, that's all. And the prisoners are here. And you know, if you're in a prison house and you're trying to get out, the other prisoners are saying, "Why don't you stick around for a while? It's not so bad here." Right? That's called family and friends. You know, you just... be like us, miserable. Misery loves company. So that's, and everyone's trying to bring, keep you in the prison, but you understand that you're trying to get out of this place. You know, you want to get paroled at least. Paroled from the suffering of material existence. So Priyavrat, it's interesting. This just shows you how dangerous material life is. How contaminating. Prabhupada says material energy is like a disease. And if you're in a, this like if you're in a hospital, you're surrounded by sick people. Like doctors have to be really conscious and cautious not to get diseased by their patients because they're always in contact with this atmosphere. So they take a lot of extra precaution. So in the same way, in this material world, it's easy, not easy, it's hard to get free from the disease. We're so much connected to this material world. But if we take shelter of devotional service, and especially the chanting of the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra, we can purify our consciousness and get free from this. It says, samsara vihishanale divya nisariya jvale judaite nakainu pa. My heart is always burning in the fire of material existence, and I have made no provisions for getting out of it. Golokira premandana hari nam sankirtana hari nam sankirtana. There's the way out. Ratina janmila kenata. The only remedy, it says only, is Harinam Sankirtan, the chanting of the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra, which has been imported from the spiritual world, Goloka Vrindavan. But Narottam Das Thakur ends, how unfortunate I am that I have no attraction for this chanting. No attraction. I'm eager for other things. So we want to become free from the poison of material existence. Lord Chaitanya said, what is that verse? Bhadra Bhadra. He said, some people say that this is good, and some people say this is bad, but I say this is all mental concoction. This whole material world is bad. And not like the way people say now, hey, that's bad, man. Not like that. Because bad has become good now, right? Hey, man, that's bad. But not that way. It's bad. Everything about it is bad. Bad and with a capital B. This is, Lord Chaitanya says, what's good in this material world? Devotional service. It's not part of the material world. It's the only thing good. Right? All these other things, we do it, some responsibility, get it done, focus on the essence. Any questions? Yes, Himanshu.
Maharaj, thank you so much for your class. I was thinking...
Bring your microphone up a little.
I was thinking particularly about the importance of internal steadiness when one has to engage with the material energy. I was wondering if you could speak a little bit about what should be our internal contemplation. Suppose some service was to come to us that involves a lot of engagement with, you know, things outside the temple that maybe make it easier for you to forget Krishna. What should be our internal preparation? How should we approach?
Chant a lot of Hare Krishna Maha Mantras before you get out there. Prepare your consciousness. You can't surreptitiously or superimpose a kind of spiritual consciousness on your mind and then go out there. You gotta purify your consciousness by chanting. And then you're fixed. You can remember Krishna. We want to chant 24 hours a day, so wherever we are, we're free from that contamination. But the foundation, the building process, is the morning program. The morning program is like putting, you know, money in the bank, you might say, to use an analogy. It gives us the strength we need to take on the responsibilities and the challenges we have when we're out there. So we have to get up and hear and chant nicely. It is so, it's not important, it's essential. It's critical. If you don't do your rounds, or you do your rounds kind of like half-hearted, or the quality is not so good, you can expect a rough day. Rough in the sense that the challenges will be greater, and the difficulties will seem more difficult. You'll get challenges. You'll get difficulties. That's the way the material world is. I heard a nice story. You want to hear a nice story? Okay. There was one man, he had a donkey. I like donkeys. Hee-haw, hee-haw. I can't do donkey. Ah, That's a cow. I can't. Anybody can do a donkey? Any donkeys here? No. I remember there was one donkey. One devotee had donkey. Went, ah. Yeah, that's it. I got it now. That's a donkey. Yeah, that's. I got it finally. It took me a while. I have to remember some of my past lives. I hope it's not my next life. Anyway, so this man, he had a donkey, and the donkey fell in the well. And he was thinking, oh no, my donkey's in the well. So he's thinking, I got to get the donkey out of the well. He couldn't get the donkey out of the well. He tried with ropes and so many things. So he's thinking, well, the donkey's old anyway. So I'll just give up on the donkey. So he decided to bury the donkey with dirt. So he calls his friends. And they all get shovels, and they're throwing dirt on top of the donkey. Now the donkey's thinking, oh no, they're trying to kill me now. So a little. And the donkey, but the donkey got a little smart. He became a little bit sober. Then when the dirt was falling on his back, he shook it off, and then he would stand on that dirt. And then there would be more dirt coming back, and then he'd stand on that dirt. And finally, the dirt kept piling up, and it went all the way up, and the donkey just walked out of the well. So the dirt of material existence will come in your life. Shake it off. And then take a step up. Just take a step up. I mean, if a donkey can do it, I'm sure we can do it also. You're laughing so much, you're making me laugh. But yeah, this is a nice story because using what apparently is like a negative and turning it into something positive. How do you do that? With good sadhana. You use your intelligence because when you're out there, you're going to take things the way they come. But there's a way, and there's another way of taking how things come, and that is seen through the eyes of Krishna's mercy. And therefore, when we get the strength through the hearing and chanting, we're prepared to deal with challenges, and not only challenges, but we can actually make advancement from the challenges. The donkey used the dirt as a solution to his problems. So we can use the challenges, the attacks, and even the reverses in life as a means to go forward. Because a devotee knows that Krishna is always taking care of him. He has to somehow or other understand why Krishna is doing this to me and how can I benefit from it? How can I benefit from it? But it takes you, we have to have good sadhana. That's important. And even when you're out there, bring a book, chant japa. Keep your consciousness connected. Okay. I hope that helps. Any other questions? Any questions about donkeys? No. No questions. Yes, Prabhu. What's your name? Glenn. Hare Krishna.
I was thinking about when things happen or you know, going the wrong direction or taking a fall. Is something there irretrievable or are we able to, can we turn that around into a strength?
When we take a fall?
Yeah.
Yeah. Because there's a reason why the fall came. The fall came because, maybe because of our consciousness or maybe because of our the situation itself, but how we accept what happens to us means how we process it. So the donkey took the dirt as an opportunity to get out of the well. So we can take, well, if we fall down, get back up, but learn why you fell down. That's the point. Not just falling down, but what caused me to fall down? How to avoid it next time, like that. Now, if it's something that's deep-seated, then you have to really work on it. But that's Krishna consciousness. Krishna consciousness helps us to understand where we're weak. You know where you're weak? Maya shows you where you're weak. Maya's your friend in that sense. She shows you where you're weak. She shows it to you. And you'll see it every day. Wherever you're weak, you'll get that attraction. And you'll see, okay, here comes Maya again. But that's Maya's just doing it as a favor. This is your attraction? Here it is. Do you want it? Or here's your aversion. How do you deal with that? So we learn from our mistakes. A Vaishnava is what we say, introspective, thinking, oh, this caused me to fall down, so let me avoid it. Just like if you eat too much at night, it's going to disturb your sleep and make your the next day difficult and japa. So we might like to eat a lot at night, but it's dangerous for spiritual life. If we talk nonsense, that, what we say, destroys our ability to think of Krishna. Our consciousness becomes loose. And they say, there's a screw loose. Tighten it up. So, yeah. If we talk nonsense, that's going to make it hard for our practice of Krishna consciousness. Like that. So avoid those things. If we don't talk at all, that's going to make it hard too. Because the intelligence in the mind is not getting the satisfaction. And therefore, the mind will dwell on sense gratification. So we have to express ourselves by speaking about Krishna. Or using our intelligence to serve Krishna. By inspiring others to serve Krishna, or using, in other words, we have to talk for Krishna. We have to think for Krishna. We can't let our existence be nullified by a false sense of renunciation. I see this sometimes in the early days of Krishna. It happened a lot that devotees try to stop doing certain things, but they don't use their propensity in a spiritual way, and therefore they're unhappy. Renunciation alone is just part of the process. You have to take that energy and now use it in Krishna's service. So you have to understand what can you do for Krishna and how you can, as Sridhar Swami Maharaj from ISKCON used to say, be yourself and do something for God. Just be yourself. You have to find out what is it about you. Don't neglect your nature. Don't neglect your desires. Just use them in Krishna consciousness. That's all. But what is those certain things we can't use, and that is called the sinful activities. Those we avoid. You like to sing? Sing for Krishna. You like to dance? Dance for Krishna. You like to write? Write something. Keep a diary on Krishna consciousness. You have some material talents, use it for Krishna. Dramas, right? Do dramas for Krishna. Play music for Krishna and Krishna's devotees, right? Hridayananda Maharaj, he's so funny. You ever listen to his classes? He would tell jokes, the whole classes would be roaring to the whole class. So one time, Prabhupada was in the temple. And, you know, he's just telling, because he's witty, super witty. He can speak very philosophically and make it sound really humorous. And so one time, you know, he was in one temple and he was just, the whole class, everybody was just laughing like, you know, nobody could even sit up anymore. And then Prabhupada was there. And he walked out of the class and Prabhupada's walking right towards him. And he's thinking, oh no, Prabhupada's going to chastise me now. But Prabhupada came up to him and smiled. He said, "Very good. It's good you make the devotees laugh. They need it. We get too serious sometimes." So, you know, whatever propensities you have, use it for Krishna. That's all. But you have to learn how to use it for Krishna. That's the art of bhakti. And that takes some practice and some guidance. Guidance is important. Learn how to use what you're about for Krishna. That's all. Don't try to be somebody else or something different. That's all. Yes, we have our Jai Jagannath. He was a ballet dancer, right? He dances so nice for Krishna.
Hare Krishna Maharaj.
Yes, Bhakta Luke.
Thank you very much for the class. You were discussing the importance of introspection. I was wondering if you could speak a little bit on sometimes I've also had this problem, but I've spoken with other devotees who also had this problem of being too introspective or just getting kind of like mental absorbed.
Yeah, don't get mental.
So could you speak a little more about that and how to avoid it?
Yeah, there's a feature on the machine where it just keeps playing over and over again. You know, it's just like, you know, it doesn't, you put it on automatic stop and then it stops. But if you put it on the other one, it just keeps going. The same song keeps playing over and over. Avoid that. How do you do that? It's just, you know, you ask questions. Try to think about Krishna. If you fill your mind with, you know, lamentation or mental speculation, you could go on forever. So if you have some question, look it up in the shastras. Or hear, if you heard it from a lecture, or try to find it. There's some question. You can always answer your mental speculation with philosophical knowledge. Like that. And that will give you advancement in Krishna consciousness. But sometimes we get so absorbed in trying to figure out how to figure out. And we become disfigured. Ladies have to be careful of that one, not to get disfigured, because they like to figure their figure very nicely. Well, that's another story. Anyway. So we try to figure out how to become Krishna conscious. Just practice the process as given by the acharya, sadhu vritti. And we have to understand it. Read Nectar of Devotion. If you have a, you know, we may have a problem with, okay, how best can I serve? And then you just ask, how best can I serve? Like that. Yeah. Okay. Anything else? Yes, Prabhu. What's your name? Derek?
Yeah.
Hare Krishna.
Krishna, thank you for class. You were mentioning duty and disinterest in regards to material activities.
Yeah.
And you were saying if we can't view things in disinterest, view it as duty. Am I understanding this correctly?
Well, it's a duty in the first place, but if you can do it with disinterest. But if you can't do it with interest, at least understand that's all it is a duty you have to do.
So how do you move from viewing it just as a duty, because I'm not so fortunate to have the disinterest qualification?
Yeah, disinterest means another interest. And disinterest is not something isolated. You have to have an interest in something else. To be disinterested means to be a stone. You have to have interest in Krishna. So you have to create your Krishna conscious interest, and then you can be disinterested in anything that's not Krishna conscious, but still carry it out as a duty. That's all. I use the example of the wife who has a lover. She does her husband's service nicely, but at the same time, she's disinterested in it. She's not really interested in it at all. Her interest is in going with her lover. So we have to have a strong interest in Krishna, or develop a strong interest in Krishna consciousness. So make plans to serve Krishna. Make plans to chant Krishna's name. Always be thinking. As Prabhupada, when Prabhupada was glorified for being so, powerful, he explained that the reason I'm so powerful is I have no time for Maya. I just don't have any time for Maya. So if you have some material responsibility, do it, but don't become, you know. It's like going to the bathroom, that's all. Same thing. You got to do it.
Thank you.
Practice. Read that verse 3:9 in the Bhagavad Gita. 3:9 will give you a little understanding of that. Okay, thank you very much. Srila Prabhupada ki jai. Sri Harinam Sankirtan ki jai. Srimad Bhagavatam ki jai.